You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colt Molesky, bringing you daily Wolves content. Make sure to check out the Locked On Wolves fan rake site in case you want any written content as well. And you can also check out the Locked On NBA site for more broad NBA stories and podcasts. Check out all that great content if you are super into basketball like myself. And as always, go back and listen to some of the Locked On Wolves stuff. We've had some great guests on as of late. We're going to finish out strong this week with some Knicks guests. I've been teasing it out a couple times this week, but somebody from the New York Post is going to be on the show this week. So that'll be really fun. Great guests all week long. We're going to continue that string with Mitchell Hanson joining the show. He hasn't been on in a little while, but always good to have you on, Mitch. Glad that you could be on to break down kind of the playoff picture for the Timberwolves the weekend. What has it been encapsulated in Timberwolves basketball so far? Over the past like week, they've had some really big games and some really impactful outcomes as far as the postseason. Thank you for coming on and helping me break some of this down.
Yeah, no problem at all. Thanks for having me. It's definitely been a somewhat of a roller coaster here at the end of the regular season for the Wolves.
Absolutely. I was talking with Mitch before the show. We haven't really gotten a chance here on the podcast to totally digest the weekend. We jumped right into tournament stuff and prospects and then to the Clippers game over the last two shows. So I wanted to go back. First, we'll talk about the stuff that happened over the weekend, really digest some of that stuff. And then we're going to recap just quickly the Clippers game that happened the other night and finish off with how all of that kind of adds up to the playoff picture the Timberwolves are looking at. First of all, the losses to San Antonio, you had the 117-101 loss to the Spurs and then the 129-120 loss to the Rockets. Those were Saturday and Sunday games. Obviously, the Clippers game, they won 123-109 in a very big fashion. They won the Clippers game. Really kind of put the Clippers away early and were ahead most of that one. But going over the weekend games, Really interesting stuff happened over the weekend. You had LaMarcus Aldridge. He looked good against the Wolves and the Warriors actually over the weekend in those two wins. But they had that battle. Karl-Anthony Towns, you kind of hoped that he would come out and play with Aldridge. And he had a solid game, but it really felt like another game where Aldridge kind of thumped him. I mean, 39 points, 10 rebounds against Towns' 23 points, 9 rebounds. It felt like he kind of thumped him. It felt like, the veteran that got the better of the young buck in Towns. And then over, I think the biggest thing when I think of the Rockets game, well, actually the two biggest things were the strong Twitter following of Derrick Rose that just appears out of nowhere. Came in force when he had the 14 points in 19 minutes. The other thing that really showed through, and again, I was talking about this with Ben DuBose, the host of the Locked On Rockets podcast before this game, and it wasn't a hard call to make, but James Harden, 34 points, just really apparent that without Jimmy Butler, there's not a guy on the Timberwolves to really guard the number one offensive scorer. So those were kind of the things I noticed from those two games. What were some of the kind of grand takeaways that you pulled from those pair of games?
Well, you know, obviously looking at these games, you know, even in the middle of the season, or you know, as the second half of the season, you know, started, or even as you know, as we're approaching these two games, you know, these were two games that you know they were viewed as decently big games for the Wolves in terms of you know, the playoff picture and kind of where they stand in that Western Conference playoff race, as you know, all these games are down the stretch, but specifically these two games with you know, obviously Minnesota and San Antonio were kind of neck and neck as they, you know, as that game started and as that game transpired. You know, it was a little disappointing to see, you know, kind of like you mentioned, LaMarcus Aldridge go off against Karl-Anthony Towns. You know, that was kind of, that's something that, you know, you'd like to see Cat kind of, you know, take advantage of those opportunities and kind of, you know, hold those opponents down. You know, LaMarcus kind of, you know, went off and that hurt the Wolves, and that, you know, that ended up being kind of a big factor in that game. And, you know, even the points in the paint in that game, you know, the Spurs had at 60 to, they held a 60 to 52 advantage in points in the paint, which is very unlike Minnesota, who usually kind of tends to rule the, you know, rule the paint area and, you know, the amount of points that they score in the paint. So, you know, that game was, you know, a little bit disappointing to an extent. I mean, the Spurs are still the Spurs, whether or not they have Kawhi Leonard in that lineup or not. So that, you know, that's obviously a tough game, regardless of who they have playing and who's on the court for San Antonio. But moving to the Houston game, you know, that was kind of a game that, you know, if you're looking at you know, going into that game and expecting Minnesota to win, maybe that's not going to happen. You know, Houston's one of the toughest teams in the Western Conference, if not the NBA right now. So, you know, that wasn't really, you know, something that, you know, you expected Minnesota to come out on top of that game. But, you know, the way that game started, I mean, it looked like Houston was going to win the game by 40 points the way they were playing in the first half. And then Minnesota, you know, it was encouraging to see Minnesota jump out, you know, in that second half and kind of battle back. You know, it kind of started with that Gorgui Dieng, Chris Paul dust up, but, which, you know, that kind of energized the group, that kind of energized the crowd, and that, you know, that led to somewhat of a comeback. You mentioned Derrick Rose was playing well in the second half of that game. So there was a lot of, you know, despite those two losses, there was a lot of key takeaways. You know, and a lot of things that Minnesota still needs to work on, and a lot of things that, you know, maybe they can start to turn to as the season progresses and as, you know, as the regular season comes to a close. So, you know, this stretch, obviously, you know, we've been saying it for kind of a little while with, you know, as the Western Conference race has kind of tightened up. But, you know, this stretch is extremely important for Minnesota to take advantage of the games they're supposed to win. You know, and if they, you know, they can steal a game or two, maybe, you know, if a couple things go the other way from Minnesota in that Houston game, or maybe even the San Antonio game, you know, maybe they steal a game, you know, one of those two games. And if you can steal the games that, you know, against good opponents, if you can steal one or two of those games, that's huge. And as well as winning the games that you should be taking care of business in. So there's a lot of things that, you know, there's a lot of takeaways that you can take away from this weekend and the past few games. You know, Minnesota, if they can, you know, kind of, which looks like they will right now, if they can kind of, you know, stick in that 5-8 range in the playoff race, you know, and while Jimmy Butler's out, and once they get Jimmy Butler back, they can kind of make a little bit of a run, if that is, you know, with a few games left in the regular season, that's going to be huge. And, you know, it's an important time for Minnesota to try and take advantage of some games and get some wins here before the playoffs begin.
No, absolutely. I agree with your point about how, hey, I think this is kind of maybe a product of the season, and it's hard to count the Timberwolves out when they have young stars. But the Rockets game, even to an extent, the Spurs game, it's really hard to expect a Jimmy Butler-less Timberwolves to pull mm-hmm. those kind of wins out. And so even though it's a 9-point loss, definitely a better looking loss than some of the ones they've suffered earlier in the season to the Rockets. And so it feels like they're kind of in that game.
Mm-hmm.
When you really watch the game, they're not in the game, you know? And it's really one of those things where, hey, it's talent on their team that kept the score close. It's still not the kind of talent on this team that can actually really give the Rockets a run for their money. And so that's why when you're looking at seeding, and you can say the one side of this is the Timberwolves are probably going to make the playoffs. And well, you know what? I'm not going to back off my earlier stance. They will make the playoffs. I've been confident about that for the entire season. They're going to make the playoffs. The problem is that if they do slip back down, they're in the, as of today, as of this morning, when we're doing the podcast, they are in the seventh spot. If they slide down to the eighth spot and you're playing the Rockets, I mean, I'm looking at a sweep right now. I'm thinking mm-hmm. even with Jimmy Butler back, you don't know what kind of health he's going to have, if he's going to be 100%. I'm thinking it's more like 70 to 80% at most if he does come back for a playoff series. You're looking at a sweep. And so even though it's great to be getting to the playoffs for the first time in so long and to be the first team that's topped 40 wins without Kevin Garnett in the franchise, you're still looking at a sweep in the first round. And so if you can finish out, they have a really weak schedule. I don't know off the top of my head, but I know you're playing teams like the Knicks and Memphis and mm-hmm. down teams, bottom of the barrel teams. If you can, in the last 10 games here, try and pull out 8 or 9 of these, that's crucial, because middle of the pack in the playoffs is going to be way more of a winnable series than if you slide into that eighth spot.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you kind of go back to your point that you were just touching on about the schedule. I have it right in front of me, and you look at, you know, the remaining teams that they play, and it's, you know, it is favorable for Minnesota, and it is encouraging for Wolves fans to see, you know, kind of the, you know, the opponents that they are playing. I mean, they're playing the Knicks away, you know, the 76ers, which 76ers have been playing well as of late. You know, Memphis, Atlanta at home. I mean, those two teams are struggling this season. They have, you know, Dallas. They do play Utah, which will be a big game with, you know, Utah playing well and Utah kind of creeping up into that eighth spot in the Western Conference. That'll be a big game. But then they have, you know, games like, you know, L.A. or the Lakers. They play, you know, Memphis. They close the year out with playing Denver a few times. So, you know, it will be, you know, don't get me wrong, they still need to take care of business. They still need, like I mentioned earlier, they need to win the games that they're supposed to be winning, especially against teams below 500 near the end of the regular season. But, you know, when you look at, you know, Minnesota's remaining schedule, that, you know, that is encouraging, especially because they have, like we talked about earlier, they do have Jimmy Butler out, and that's, you know, they need to win all the games that they can. You know, as far as the playoff picture, I mean, like you said, with if they, you know, drop down to the eighth seed or even the seventh seed where they're at right now, I mean, that means you're playing Houston or Golden State, which, you know, newsflash, those teams are incredibly good. And, you know, they're probably going to meet in the Western Conference Finals. So, I mean, the best case scenario for Minnesota, I mean, as far as, you know, first round opponent or, you know, trying to get through the first round, because let's be honest, they're likely not going to get through Golden State and Houston. It would take some sort of, in my mind, miracle to beat Golden State and Houston in the playoffs, especially, I don't know how many teams can beat those teams or the rest of the teams in the Western Conference. I don't know if they can beat Golden State and Houston in a seven-game series. So best case scenario, you know, for Minnesota, I think, you know, is to get that five or six seed. I mean, if you get a six seed, you're likely going to play Portland, you know, with the majority of those games in Portland. So that, you know, that would be a tough test with, you know, obviously with the way Portland's playing right now. Portland's kind of making a late dash at the end of the year that they've been playing some really good basketball. For me, I, as just a, you know, a Wolves fan and a basketball person in general, I would really like to see, you know, the Minnesota-OKC matchup, the 4-5, and if those seeds, you know, play out that way, a 4-5 matchup in the first round, just because those teams going back and forth throughout the regular season was incredibly entertaining, and they're just so evenly matched in my eyes that, you know, that would make a very entertaining series, and, you know, that would put, I think, Minnesota in a decent position to, you know, maybe even win a first-round playoff series and advance to the second round. Before we can get to that point, like I said earlier, you know, Minnesota needs to take care of business, and that's, you know, this is a very, you know, very important stretch for Minnesota, as it is for, you know, the teams that are 4 through 8 or even 4 through 10 in the Western Conference right now. So, you know, the race keeps getting tighter and tighter, and the games keep, you know, kind of going down. The number of games for each team keeps going down. So it's getting a little heated, and it's getting definitely entertaining for basketball fans everywhere.
I wanted to wrap a bow on kind of the discussion of the couple of games they played over the weekend. Before we do that, I'm going to get to some sponsors. All right. We had the big games over the weekend against the Rockets, the San Antonio Spurs. Kind of final thoughts on those two before we put those to rest. What are some final takeaways? What are some things that really stuck out to you? Some things when you look back, maybe in a week, in a couple games worth of time for the Timberwolves, will stick out to you when you think of this stretch of games where they had to play some really tough opponents and they came out with wins against the Warriors and Washington, but they took a dip both in the standings and in production, just losing to the Rockets and the Spurs. What's something that you'll probably still have with you from this weekend?
Well, for one, you know, it is kind of encouraging to some extent. Obviously, they lost the game, but, you know, there really isn't any, you know, moral victories in the NBA, especially when you lose a game. But, you know, they did lose those games, but, you know, they did play well without Jimmy Butler against some two quality Western Conference teams. I mean, you know, San Antonio has kind of dipped down without, obviously, I said earlier, without Kawhi Leonard. But they're still a quality team. Houston's, you know, like I said, probably one of the best teams, if not the best team in the NBA right now. So, you know, playing without or playing those games, and they were somewhat closely contested game, more so the Houston game rather than the San Antonio game. But, you know, seeing those two games and kind of everything that transpired without Jimmy Butler and the way that, you know, Minnesota did have, you know, a few chances or kind of a glimpse of hope in both of those games. And they didn't have their best defender. They didn't have their best player. So, you know, when you look back at that, you know, if you could, I mean, everyone could say that, you know, if they had Jimmy Butler, maybe they win this game, maybe they win that game. You could play that game all day. But, you know, the fact that, you know, players like Karl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, Jeff Teague's been playing really well as of late. But the fact that those players have stepped up, you know, in Jimmy Butler's absence and have kind of taken things over, you know, that is encouraging, especially at the end of the year when you want to be playing your best basketball, you want to be playing your best team basketball heading into the playoffs where Minnesota looks to be headed. So for me, that's the kind of takeaways that, you know, I take away from these two games is that, you know, obviously Minnesota's not at full strength. You know, they don't have Jimmy Butler, but, you know, the rest of the crew that is remaining with the Wolves right now until Butler comes back, they've been playing some good basketball. And, you know, the fight – specifically for me, that fight that they showed in the Houston game kind of spoke volumes in that, you know, they were down 25 in that game and they didn't give up. They very well could have, you know, just kind of rolled over and let that game be a blowout. But, you know, they didn't let up and they, you know, they showed that fight and it ended up kind of being what we've seen a lot at Target Center now with kind of a playoff atmosphere with games. So, you know, it's an exciting time and, you know, those two games, you know, obviously didn't result in wins, but, like I said, there's a lot of key takeaways that you can take away from those games. And once you throw Jimmy Butler back into the mix, I mean, that you'd hope that a lot of the production from, like I mentioned before, the production from Towns, Wiggins, and Teague, especially, you know, you hope that continues and hope Minnesota is kind of rolling once postseason play begins.
No, definitely. And you talked about how they played against top-tier competition. And I think that it kind of cemented that they are still that superstar away, which is why Jimmy Butler is so important, is that and it kind of showed just the levels in the Western Conference. And we can talk about how the playoff race is close, which it is for a lot of teams, and we talk about how some of this is muddled, but the good teams are still good. And the Rockets and the Warriors are obviously at the top tier. But I think San Antonio is right there at the top tier. Mm-hmm. And when we were going through the bracket and the seedings and kind of doing the March Madness style with the NBA playoffs, when I did that episode with Drew, who has done work for the SB Nation Timberwolves site and the Vikings territory, and he came on the show and did that with me. And we both of us had San Antonio pretty far up in our seeding, and that's because the system is set in place there and works so well there, and Popovich does such a great job, and that whole coaching staff does such a great job of not only implementing that system but finding guys all over deep in the roster that they can build around just one guy like LaMarcus Aldridge, even though Kawhi Leonard is out, and they're still able to have a great season. They are sitting at 41 wins right now, 30 losses. They're in the sixth spot in the Western Conference, and they're going to be a team to contend with no matter who's on the roster. And so I think that disparity just kind of showed when they were playing the Wolves over the weekend, and even when they're playing the Warriors, they're able to find a way to win against them and keep it close in a game before that against the Warriors. So it just became clear that this team is still everybody's. It's okay to be excited. It's okay to be excited about the playoff run, about the new players and faces on this team. I'm excited about them. I have enjoyed covering them just as much as the next guy. I'm not saying you shouldn't be excited about it, but at the very same time, this team is also still a year or two away from really making some noise in the playoffs, and it's because of teams like the Spurs, like the Rockets, like the Warriors, and the system that they have to pair with great players. And the Timberwolves just have the great players, and they're still figuring out the system, and that was really apparent throughout the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Spurs throughout, you know, even the first half of the year, or even, you know, the years prior, even that, you know, they're a three seed in the West. I mean, they're the, you know, especially when they have Kawhi Leonard, they're a top three team in the Western Conference, mm-hmm. and they've showed that in the last how many years. I mean, you look at, you know, there's a lot of parallels to Minnesota and San Antonio in the regard that, you know, the teams were kind of hanging around the top of the Western Conference standings for a lot of their, you know, bulk of the year. And then, you know, you have Kawhi Leonard, who, you know, has been kind of in and out of injuries all year and hasn't played 2 months this year for San Antonio. And then you have, you know, Jimmy Butler being out for Minnesota. You know, if you have those two players in the lineups for both those teams, I mean, you're going to see San Antonio, Minnesota within the, you know, the top half of the Western Conference. I mean, it's just like any other team. If you have, you know, if Houston would have, you know, be without James Harden for a little bit, you maybe see them slip up for a little bit. Or if you see, you know, maybe Oklahoma City without Russell Westbrook, you know, you might see them slip up a little bit. So that's, I think, a big reason, you know, that we've kind of seen San Antonio and Minnesota slip to some extent in the standings. You know, there are a ton of talented teams, like you mentioned. You know, you go up and down the Western Conference standings, and I mean, it's just the teams are playing really well right now, and Minnesota's within that mix. You know, with Utah kind of joining into that mix with playing maybe some of the best basketball in the Western Conference as of late, with, you know, winning seems like every single game since, you know, January. But, you know, there are a ton of good teams, and you know, even if Minnesota does make the playoffs, it is a big, you know, it's a big deal to make the playoffs, obviously, especially if you know, look at Minnesota's case with, you know, not making the playoffs in the last 13 years. But, you know, it will be tough when you get into the playoffs. And, I mean, it's, you know, that's just a, you know, coming into the season, you know, looking at the Western Conference, a lot of people expected that the Western Conference would be tough. That's exactly been the case, and that's, you know, it's, the Western Conference race and kind of that fourth through eighth race right now with teams being within a couple games, you know, that is a big testament to just how tough the Western Conference is and how tough it will be moving forward. But going back to your point about Minnesota kind of being a couple years away, that's exactly right. And you have the teams like San Antonio that you maybe expect them to kind of drop off in a couple years, not necessarily drop off, but just, you know, kind of maybe come back to being kind of a normal team in the Western Conference. It seems like they've been, you know, a higher tier team for forever. But you do have a ton of teams that maybe if you wait a couple more years, or, you know, Minnesota, as they, you know, continue to mature and get better, you know, they'll continue to rise within that Western Conference. But, you know, just looking at the Western Conference race and the playoff race in general, it's, you know, it's a lot of fun to watch, and, you know, it's exciting. You know, Minnesota, as you know, a lot of people like to maybe criticize Minnesota and what they're, you know, how they're doing down the stretch here. You know, you gotta take a step back and realize that Minnesota's in a playoff race for the first time in a long time. And you know, it's exciting time for Wolves fans, and it's, you know, it's exciting time for NBA fans in general.
For sure, for sure. It's been a fun race, and it'll be down to the wire, absolutely. Before we head out here, just wanted to cover a little bit of the Clippers game. Really good win, really necessary win for the Timberwolves, just to give them a good buffer between that playoff seeding, whether it's the sixth spot or the eighth spot, and that ninth spot just outside of the playoffs. So the win was important to kind of get back on track and help establish some of that buffer that you hope they can build on throughout the rest of the regular season. 123-109 was the win over the Clippers at home. Big night for Towns. Towns had 30 and 10 in the double-double. He and Taj Gibson did a really good job containing DeAndre Jordan. A couple of the takeaways I had, this game, and really it's been over the last couple of months that has really stuck out, but it's been a season-long thing. Jamal Crawford is the only guy that can really score off the bench consistently for the Timberwolves. Whatever his defensive problems are, whatever his woes on the perimeter, especially guarding guys. You saw it a bunch against Lou Williams, guarding guys outside. He is really the only guy on the Timberwolves bench that, you know, he can put up 20 or so points, and he has done that. I think it's been 12 times now that he's put up 20 points for the Timberwolves. And eight or 10 times they have been 20 points that without them, I not only do I not know where they get those 20 points from, but I don't think they win without the 20 point contribution that he has. And so it is, for a team that is going to be in the playoffs, I know that Bielitsa is a guy who's on the bench, and if Butler was back, you'd have maybe a little more depth there. But with a Tom Thibodeau team, I don't think that you have a bunch of guys getting minutes off the bench that can contribute more than maybe Jamal Crawford is right now. So while the win is a solid win, I am a little disappointed that in a game like this game against a terrible defense in the Clippers, Tyus Jones isn't able to step up. He didn't score at all. Gorgie, he didn't score at all. You don't have any points from anybody else who had more than 10 minutes off the bench. And then, really, I can't believe I'm saying this, but Derrick Rose might be the most impressive guy off the bench outside of Jamal Crawford as of late. 9 points in 6 minutes. He was injured. What did they say it was? It was a hamstring or ankle. It's slipping my memory right now, but he had
an ankle.
Yeah, ankle. And so he had an injury that kept him out. Again, surprise there, but he had 14 points off the bench against the Rockets. They need to find bench scoring somewhere else. And if you can't do it against the Clippers, you're not going to be able to do it against any other defense.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I think, you know, love it or hate it, as fans view the, you know, the Derrick Rose signing, but, you know, the Derrick Rose, or the addition of Derrick Rose, excuse me, you know, I think that kind of like you touched on a little bit ago, you know, I think that, you know, that he has been playing really well, and I think that'll help Minnesota down the stretch, and maybe even, you know, if he does get some time in the postseason, assuming he stays healthy, you know, that I think that will be, you know, helpful for Minnesota to just have another, you know, offensive presence within that second unit. You know, I think I personally, you know, like the, you know, the signing of Derrick Rose to the extent that, you know, he does help Minnesota offensively. You know, Tyus Jones hasn't been that backup point guard that can score consistently on the offensive end. You know, he does boost Minnesota to some extent on the defensive end, getting deflections, kind of pushing the pace a little bit. That's why maybe it is, you know, kind of you know, enticing and kind of interesting for Tom Thibodeau to maybe run Tyus Jones and Derrick Rose together with, you know, that second unit and some limited minutes that they've kind of been playing together so far. But, you know, maybe that is something that Minnesota turns to as, you know, kind of the regular season winds down, is maybe we do see a lot of Derrick Rose and Tyus Jones playing together, maybe with Jamal Crawford and a few other pieces. Because, you know, when that group is on the floor, you're exactly right. You know, Crawford is the main offensive threat. And, you know, within the last two games, Derrick Rose has kind of been that second offensive threat. And, you know, that is something that, you know, is key. You need, obviously, when you have players on the court and you have that second unit on the court, they got to score. You're not going to get stops every time down the floor. So you got to find someone to score somewhere within that second unit. So Jamal Crawford's been basically that main person right now and that main threat.
Well, and look, so, you know, you're looking at the Jamal Crawford and the points too. And to your point about the second unit, you bring up an excellent point about them, because they're really justifying Thibodeau not putting them out there, not having them out there as much, and why the stars are out there so much, because nobody on that second unit has really proven that they can hold a lead, and maybe they might have some defensive ups. I think Tyus Jones is a very good defender, but they haven't given him a really great reason to play them a ton more minutes. And you just look at this game, it's a great job by the Timberwolves to take care of business at home to win a game that they should have. Teague had a great game. It was good to see Wiggins knock down some shots. Thank God that Tobias Harris went 0 for 5 from 3-point range. But you look at this game, and really the difference between, and kind of going back to the earlier points, the difference between the Rockets, a team like the Rockets or the Spurs and the Timberwolves, is they have depth. They have guys that can come off the bench. Their second units are good. And the Timberwolves have a great starting five, especially when Butler's in there, but they don't have anybody to lean on. And so coming out of this, they have an easy stretch now to finish out the season, but that's kind of the question mark that's left in my mind by a Clippers team that might still make the playoffs yet.
Yeah, and going back to the point of the second unit, I mean, you take away the 6.5 minutes that Derrick Rose played last night, and obviously he had 9 points in just over 6 minutes. You take away those points, and the bench scored 20 points. Who had all 20 of those points? Jamal Crawford. So, I mean, heaven forbids that anything happens to Jamal Crawford, but let's say he gets injured, what's going to happen to that second unit? You know, the starters are going to have to play 40-plus minutes a game just to, you know, hold on to a lead. And, you know, that's something that Minnesota's struggled with all season is, you know, the starters come out. I'm sure they have their rotations where maybe Wiggins or Towns or maybe, you know, Taj Gibson's in there by themselves at a certain point in the game. But let's say you take out that starting five. You know, Minnesota's been dealt with, you know, maybe they'll get a 10-point lead, and then that second unit comes in and that dwindles back into a tie game. That forces, you know, the coaching staff to put that starting five back in the game, because what are you going to do? Just let the, you know, the second unit just kind of, you know, lose a lead and kind of get yourself into a hole and try and dig out of the hole the rest of the game. No, you're not going to do that. You're going to put your starting five back in and what's been working. So that's why, you know, we've seen the minute numbers kind of creep up and we've seen this all year, but kind of be, you know, high to some extent is because there really isn't any threat with the, you know, exception of Jamal Crawford within that second unit. And it, like you said earlier, they don't really, you know, their performances and the amount of minutes that they play, they're not really doing anything with those minutes. The players, you know, those players being, you know, Tyus Jones, Gorgui Jang, last night Cole Aldridge played a minute and a half, but we won't see that too often. Those players that when they get into the game, they have to do something. They have to earn their minutes. And Thibodeau's been somebody that said that, you know, throughout the season. You know, when Bielitsa goes back to the bench, you know, he's got to earn his minutes. And, you know, he's not just because he's been starting the last few games doesn't mean that he's going to get, you know, 30 minutes off the bench automatically when he goes back and Butler returns to the lineup. So these players have to prove that they, you know, they can get into the game and they can be, you know, a valuable asset in the game. And if they can't, that's why we see them play, you know, the, you know, 10 to 15 minutes a game, because, you know, if they're not doing anything good on the floor, why, you know, why have them out on the floor? And I think that's kind of been, you know, Thibodeau's mindset here, specifically at the end of the year, but for the majority of the regular season.
No, yeah. I know that leave it to a Minnesota host, right, to find a negative out of a good win, but that's something that you got to think about when you're a playoff team. And now this is where the rubber meets the road here. We got 10 games mm-hmm. left until the playoffs, and so we're going to get in over the next couple of weeks here. We're going to get into who they're facing in the playoffs, who it looks like they're facing, playoff matchups, stuff like that. And that's one of the things that's going to come up a lot, is that teams are going to attack the second unit of this Timberwolves, and it's going to be something that really kind of either makes or breaks them in the playoffs, depending on how that second unit looks if Jimmy Butler gets back. That's all the time we have for this today's episode. Mitch, thanks again for coming on. Always a pleasure to have you on the podcast. And thank you to the Locked On Wolves listeners for tuning in to another episode of the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.